We pray that you would open our eyes to the truth as it's found in Jesus. We pray, O Lord, that you would renew us through your word, that your spirit would be at work through your servant and your servants, O Lord, to the good of your name, to the good of your people, and to the redemption, O Lord, of, yes, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is our prayer, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, this is the word of the Lord. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. May God add richly to his word. Be sober. Other translations are discipline yourself, or to be, or stay alert, or to be self-controlled. And that's the language that I'm going to use a lot here today concerning being self-controlled. In 1900, Leo Tolstoy wrote that everyone thinks about changing the world, right? Everybody wants to change the world, but no one thinks of changing himself. No one thinks of changing himself. And the world is 25,000 miles in circumference. But my goal is a bit more modest here today about changing, in that first I'd like us to, or one of the many things I'd like us to consider is controlling our tongue, which is only about 3 inches long. Self-control with respect to the tongue, or self-control with respect to a credit card, which is about 3 inches long, or perhaps all can relate to this, even our young ones here today, self-control concerning our phone, which is about 5 inches. Mine, at least, is about 5 inches long or tall. Or self-control, perhaps emotionally. How many of us lack self-control in that respect, that we're so easily flustered, that we're so easily angered, that we're so easily saddened? Or perhaps even self-control sexually. And as they say, now, Troborst, you're done preaching and you're meddling, right? That addressing a matter such as that. So yes, we even should be self-controlled in that manner. So I want to talk about holiness in light of 1 Peter and self-control today, as we, yes, consider our text. Be sober, or be self-controlled. The big picture in Peter is that he's writing to the church that's suffering and they're undergoing persecution, and we've been underscoring that the last number of weeks. It's at the core, or if you will, at the center of the letter, but also at the core of the letter is that you would be holy, that holiness, that the people of God, that his recipients would be holy. And in fact, he quotes from Leviticus, he goes back to the Old Testament, and he says, be holy. And you know why? In Leviticus, what that means, or why it's put there, that you are to be holy because the Lord is holy. And he reaches back to Leviticus and he says that, and he quotes from Leviticus, be holy, that you would be amongst the holy ones. And that's from the book of Leviticus. And the book before Leviticus is Exodus, right? Exodus comes before Leviticus, and in Exodus, and I say this now because I'm going to come back to it, that they are to learn, or that they are to know, that the people of God are to realize that they are no longer to live as slaves, but to live as free people, to live as those who have been redeemed by the Lord. And God calls the Jews out of Egypt, and he brings them into his presence so that they might have fellowship with him, that they might be one with him, that they would be like a wife to a husband to him, and that they would, if you will, be together in holiness, that they would be given over to that. And then Peter, in writing, what is that, 1,500 years later, says in his epistle that you should think of yourselves as aliens, and here aliens as to the world, that you have been called out of the world, that you have been called out of a certain way of seeing, that you've been called out of a certain way of doing, that you'd be called out of a certain way, if you will, emotionally in worship and every other respect, that you would be alien, so that you would abstain from your sinful desires, those things that you want, those things that you want to say yes to at some level, and yet you know that you're not supposed to say yes to. And he goes on, Peter, when he says that they should abstain, that they should do things like submitting to the magistrate, and that they would submit to their masters or to their employers, and that wives would submit to their husbands as to the Lord. And that he says to those in those that he's writing to, he's saying, stop living like the pagans. Do not be like a pagan. Do not be like those who have no belief. And then he lists out the types of things that he warns them against. That is debauchery. Debauchery, that they would be filled with lust, that they would be filled with drunkenness, that they would be known for their orgies, that they would be known for their carousing. He says that these things are detestable idolatry. But they, right, when Israel was called out, were they to worship idols? No, that the first commandment was that they would do no such things. And now in this closing section in 1 Peter, he says be sober, be vigilant, because you know why? Your adversary. That there is, you have an adversary in this world, that the church has an adversary, that whatever he might look like an angel of light, but that someone would be looking to harm you, that someone would be whispering things in your ear, so to speak, that would at some level sound good, but at another level would be to your to a bad end, that it would not be good for your soul and good for your Christian walk. And he says that you should watch out for such people, that you should watch out for those who would, if you will, plant such seeds along the path that would make you to fall, that would make you not to be mature, that would make you to turn away, that we would be aware, that we would be alert, that we would not be blind, that we would not be dumb to such things, that we would be, yes, that we would be sober. Right? Sober. What happens when you're not sober? So they tell me. You lose a certain control, right? You lose self-control. Right? That you no longer can walk in a straight line, that you don't have the control to do that, or you don't have the ability to steer the steering wheel in the manner that you should or that you could, or that you have certain urges that then become difficult to say no to, right? That you get, that if you drink too much, you get the munchies, right? That you eat, if you will, a bag of chips, or that you eat whatever it is that you might want to eat, that you have no self-control anymore. And he says that's the exact way that you cannot be. That if you want to be mature in the age in which you are living, that you must demonstrate self-control, that you must be sober. Nepsate is the Greek word, and it's to be free from every form of mental and spiritual excess. Excess, that you would not be going, if you will, over the top, that you'd be well-balanced in your state of mind, that you would be clear-headed, that you would be the adult in the room, that you would understand, and that you would be perceiving reality as it really is, and somehow assessing and doing what is right and refraining from that which is wrong, and that you would control yourself, because you know and you are aware that Satan is on the run, and that he is, if you will, on the loose, even if that's not the best way to put it, but that Satan is active today. And he's not active today in some abstract manner, but he is active today in looking to, if you will, undermine the faith of those who are in the first row and in the second row and in the third row and in the fourth row. That tomorrow morning you're going to wake up and you're going to be tempted in some particular way to not demonstrate self-control. Paul uses this same Greek word here that we've been saying, self-control or sober, that you would keep your head. He says that you would keep your head in all situations. Or elsewhere, he speaks of self-control using a different Greek word when he brags about his ministry and he compares it to a race. And he says, you know what? You know what? That I am running in a race. That I am like one who is running in a race, and that I beat my body. That I do what needs to be done to my body so that it would be a slave. So that it would do the very things that it should be doing. That I would not be, if you will, lacking self-control, but that it's in obedience to, if you will, the Lord's will. That he makes his body his slave, that he controls it. And in 2 Peter, Peter writes that we should make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and goodness knowledge, and to knowledge, what should you add to knowledge? Self-control. Perhaps a bit awkward way to talk about it, but some translations use the term continence, which today conjures up a medical, right? I guess a medical term, or an inability, if you will, to have self-control. Incontinence. You get the idea. One's in control and one's not in control. It's interesting that the King James Version, the New King James Version, doesn't have self-control, because the English word was not coined. That phrase, self-control, was not coined until 1711. And why our translation, for instance, says sober, or other translations use temperance, the idea of mastery, because there was no word self-control then. But the Greeks, first, certainly, in other words, but this idea of self-control goes way back even to the Greeks. The idea that you would be master yourself, that you would be given over to self-control. So it's interesting. The same term, or the same Greek word, is used in Acts 24 when Paul is speaking to Felix, whose wife was Drusilla. And it's said of Felix, Tacitus said that he, quote, indulged in every kind of cruelty and lust, wielding the power of a king with the mind of a slave. Felix was a madman, in other words, who did whatever he wanted to do and harmed whomever he wanted to harm. He was infamous for his greed, for his lust, for his political brutality, the very opposite of self-control. And Drusilla, his wife, was raised Jewish. And she shared in that reputation. She left her first husband, said, I'm out of here, and ended up marrying Felix. And Paul, we read in Acts chapter 24 that Paul preaches to them, and he discoursed to them on righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. I don't know if I should say it this way, but I will. In other words, saying, you pigs, you do whatever you want to do. You cannot say no. You will not say no. And Paul proclaims and says that there's a judgment to come, and that you should demonstrate a self-control, and that you should learn about righteousness, that you should learn about righteousness. Could say that it's been the tact of Satan from the very beginning. Eve wanted a taste. She would not say no, and she took her bite. Esau, what's Esau known for? He was hungry. He was hungry, and he sold his rights, all for a meal, all for a meal. Or Samson and his lust, or David lost it all, so to speak, lost it all, whatever, yeah, we could qualify that. His inability to say no to his desire. And you read then the book of Proverbs, and the book of Proverbs is just, if you will, spilling out with this kind of language and a begging of a father to a son and saying, don't be a dope. Don't go down a certain pathway. Don't go down a pathway of destruction. Do you see where this leads? Do you know what happens? Do you know what happens, for instance, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control, right? That you have no protection around you, that everything is broken down, that you're vulnerable to anything, that you're vulnerable to everything. Or that's Proverbs 25, 28, or Proverbs 16, 32. Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. That is that more than, if you will, lifting weights and being the strong man and being, if you will, the warrior, that would be more important that you would in some way be able to demonstrate and exercise self-control, that you would be able to say no to your appetites, that you would be able to say no to your desires in some manner and in some form. And that's the individual who's going to be, it's better to be that individual, patient, one who controls his temper than one who takes a city. And then throughout the Proverbs, the quick-tempered man, the easily angered man, they all have no self-control. They lead to misery. It leads to slavery, that the borrower is servant to the lender, or it will lead you to Sheol. So we read in the responsive reading, right, that the man who is left to that he cannot say no to the one who is enticing him, and it will lead him to the grave, that it will lead him to Sheol, that it will lead him to the place of destruction, that it will lead him to darkness and to foolishness. So the message of the Bible then, and the message of Peter, and the message today from this pulpit, insofar as I'm able to communicate this well, is a gracious call to the people of God. And what I mean by gracious is, I know that you have lacked self-control, as I have lacked self-control at different periods or times in my life or our life. And you need more today than simply a minister telling you to stop it. Even as I tell you to stop it. That is that you need to know and to realize and experience the blood of Jesus and the forgiveness of Jesus and the redemption in Jesus. That is that you need forgiveness, not more guilt. That is that you need to know that you have been taken out of bondage. You have been taken out, and that the blood of the Lamb is on the doorframe. And that blood of the Lamb is for you here today. That blood of the Lamb is for all those instances where you have not shown self-control. All those instances where you have fulfilled desires that you have not, that you should not have fulfilled. That the calling then of the gospel and the calling then of the Christian church is forgiveness, not merely guilt or more guilt, that we have been redeemed from an empty way of life. Peter uses that language, that you have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, and that you have been born again through the living and enduring Word of God. And that you need to hear that here today, that you need to hear not merely or not only stop it, show self-control, but that there's forgiveness at the cross, that in Jesus, that there is hope, and that we go home free, that when there was the declaration that you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, that is true, and that you need to hear that and to know that objectively and subjectively. Yes? But then as you have been called out into a new way of life and a new challenge, that you have been freed from, that you have, even as you have been forgiven from sin, that you have been freed from the bondage of sin, that you have been taken out of Egypt, and that you are no longer enslaved, and that you're able to make progress in self-control, and that same blood that forgives you on the doorpost is the same blood that empowers you and frees you here today. That sin, that blood that forgives you that was on the doorpost, that is the blood of Jesus, is also the blood that empowers you and frees you here today. And that is the message of Christianity, and that is the message of the cross. And don't you dare leave here without knowing that and comprehending that and believing that. That is that the power to forgive, yes, but then that's also the power to enable you to be free. And some here have struggled for decades. And I want you to hear that here today. I want you to hear about Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. That he gives grace to the humble, we read in verse 5 earlier in the chapter. And then he calls us to not live the rest of our lives, this earthly life, following after evil desires, but rather that you would be given over to the will of God, rather that you would be given over unto God wholeheartedly, that is in thought and word and speech and behavior, that you would know that since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, that he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past, this is from Peter, by the way, enough of our past and past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness and lust and drunkenness and revelries and drinking parties and abominable idolatries. So it's both a cleansing and then a calling. And today, then, the message that you hear, or the message that you imbibe, is that if it feels good, that you would do it. That there's no idea or sense of self-denial, the corollary of self-control. That Madison Ave is built so that you would lust after something that you do not have now. That the whole digital world, for instance, and social media world is built to the end that you would form habits that are addictive, that will not satisfy, so you need more. That you must pick up the phone again, that you must go back to the social media site, and they build the algorithms so that you would be addicted and not able to show self-control. They are self-consciously doing that. I need another shot, so to speak. And now I'm speaking digitally. So that hour after hour, or how many of us cannot last an hour or three without looking at our phones? Food. They make food to be addictive, so that you cannot demonstrate self-control. They know, they study how much fat, how much sugar, how much salt, and if I put that all together, it becomes so difficult to say no. How easy it is to spend money, even if you don't have it, the credit card, you deserved it, you earn it, and wham, 30 days later, then the bill comes, of course. For those who have not learned to say no, so that we're enslaved to it, and we become enslaved to our debt and to our credit card debt. How many of us, from another perspective, when dealing with family, we lose our self-control? I've said before that most of our fights are so predictable amongst around the table, or those that we fellowship with, that she says X, and then I say Y, and then she says Z, and we're off to the races. And we don't demonstrate. So it's like, I can't help it. Once she says that, or once he says that, or self-control emotionally, Or self-control with respect to the tongue. Think about that, how easy it is. You say it, and then you say, oh, if I could only have that back. Rashness, and then the tongue, right? The tongue is like a fire, a forest fire, controlling. Or self-control in drink. Or self-control in human sexuality. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, avoid sexual immorality, that you would learn how to control your own body. And it's interesting that he says that you would learn, and that you would learn self-control, that it's not natural, but that you would learn how to put things to death, put certain desires to death, that we would learn and that we would grow. All part of this, if you will, this broad rubric of self-control. Robert Henderson, who I don't know is a Christian, says self-control is one of the most valued traits across almost every area of life. People who seem reliable, disciplined, and steady tend to be trusted more. When the conflict was a work relationship, staying calm consistently led to improved judgments of the person, and shouting suggests that you are one who cannot demonstrate self-control, that you are not, if you will, dependable. So I don't know which one of these you might struggle with. I tried to be pretty broad. I tried to pick on all of you, so to speak. But I'm sure there are many that I missed as far as self-control. But that we are then to know ourselves as ones who have been taken out of Egypt and who are to live as free men, not slaves to passions and desires. So let me give three points here in closing or conclusion here. Change the world, great, but start with controlling yourself. Self-control. DC, Ukraine, just start self-control. And even in dealing with other people, that let's assume that somebody else is sinning or somebody else needs a chain or that somebody else is weak and you have a problem with a spouse or a child or a parent and so forth. The question for you is how should you change and demonstrate self-control, even if you think they are the ones who need the fixing? Because usually we become reactionary and don't help the situation but actually make it worse. So the question is, firstly, not how to fix them, but instead to think about our own self-control so that we don't exasperate a situation and think less about how they need to change, that you would play the adult and that you would say what needs to be said and to say it in the right way. So change the world, start by controlling self. Number two, the idea is not that we would be passive and just let go and let God. And I reference this verse here, which is in our bulletin. No, I beat my body and make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself would not be disqualified for the prize. That Paul I want to say he seems like he's a psycho. That's not the proper language, so I retract that. But that how seriously he takes it, that his body would be that he would be wholly given over, that he would be demonstrating self-control in his ministry, so that I make it my slave, I beat my body. And it's interesting here that some of us, I think, are some pretty talented, even great musicians amongst us. But I doubt that you said in your musical giftings, oh, I'll let go and let God and it will just happen. No, you've been very rigorous, very disciplined, I need to do X, Y, and Z in order to get to where I need to be, musically speaking, or in that talent. That maybe you even trained obsessively like Paul. I think we have some very talented mock trialers here today, and congratulations to Holly. But how many 100, 200, 300, 400 hours did you put in before you were able to do what you did? And I want to suggest that it's no different than in the Christian walk and demonstrating self-control, and that we can't get away from Bible memorization, reading, fasting, meditation, whatever that might be, that we would take radical steps, that we would take whatever is needed in order to, if you will, demonstrate more self-control in our lives. So for instance, if you have a credit card and this credit card is causing you to demonstrate or not to demonstrate self-control, you would take out the old scissors and you would get rid of the credit card. And if Netflix is causing you to sin in lust or use of time, you would then take that to the cord, or whatever else needs to be done. That we would, if you will, be like Paul and beat our breast to the end that we would demonstrate more self-control. Both in the, I need to put to death, and then I need to put on, that you would be, see yourself as ones who, and I'll make this the last point, that we would trust and live for Jesus, the incarnate one of God, the one who suffered, died, buried, and was raised and ascended, that he came and died for people like you and was raised for people like you so that you might live in freedom and newness of life, that you would be born again and given over, that you would put something away, and that you would be chasing after God and being closer to God and knowing God and worshiping God and loving God and serving God and knowing that he is the maker of all things and that he is the redeemer of the world and that in and through Jesus we have life, even the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. So that's the message. Let's pray that God would help us to live in terms of this reality. Oh Lord, open our eyes in Jesus and to Jesus and through Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the fruit of the Spirit even in our lives. May it be self-control. In Jesus' name, amen.